Good afternoon. It is 1:32 p.m., November 6, 2025. This is an informal hearing of the North Dakota Public Service Commission with Otter Tail Power Company. It's case number PU-25-232 regarding their metering and distribution technology cost recovery rider. We'll go around in a moment and have everybody introduce themselves on the record. But I do want to emphasize that this is an informal hearing, so we can deal only with undisputed information. If anything that comes up that is disputed, we would have to stop this informal hearing and move to a formal hearing. I do want to also announce Commissioner Haugenhofer is at a funeral. She had a death in the family, and so she said that she would definitely be reviewing this and asked that we go on to, you know, not hold everything up to reschedule and everything like that. But that is why she is not here. Commissioner Kringstad, did you have any comments?
I don't have any
anything
opening
like
comments.
That? Okay, if everyone would go around the room and introduce themselves with their, including your name and your position for the record. And, Victor or Chris, do you have anything that you wanted to start out with? And then we'll turn it over to the company for a presentation.
Victor Shook, PSC staff.
Chris Hansen, PSC staff.
Lauren Donofrio, Otter Tail Power Company.
Paula Foster, Supervisor of Regulatory Analysis at Otter Tail Power.
Amber Grenier, Manager of Regulatory Economics at Otter Tail Power Company.
If you want to, just in case you decide to have something to say.
Derek Haugen, Rates Analyst, Otter Tail Power Company.
Okay, go right ahead, whoever's going to take the lead.
All right, this is Paula Foster. I don't know if I need to say that again for the record, but we'll get started here. So we've gone through this part. We'll just skip over. Our agenda today, of course, is to go over the AMDT. Well, MDT now. I left that A in there. Sorry, that was me. to look at the revenue requirement that we've prepared here, and rate design impact, all of that kind of stuff, and the credit for the customers. So our summary of the request here, we still have our AMI in our advanced metering infrastructure and the rider and the demand response. This is post-rate case, of course. The total revenue requirement is $3.7 million, and our recovery period will be the calendar year of 2026. In residential customers, we have I've made a slight change in this because we found an error in the way that we calculated the actual rates for people. What happened was we had a misalignment in two different documents we were working from, and so I did change the rates. You guys can go through that, of course, after this. I can explain what happened more, but the residential customers would see an increase of $1.21 up to $2.28 per month for per meter with this correction.
Okay, and so Paul, so the $2.28 replaces the $1.84 that was in the original. Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
I was making a couple other notes. Where's that? Oh, okay, right on the inside of the cover of the first page. And what is the new number?
The new number is this $2.28 for residential.
Are you gonna? Maybe you already have. Are you gonna make a new filing too?
Yeah, we just unfortunately just realized this yesterday, but yes, you will get a filing soon. And I do have a schedule on the back of this presentation that kind of shows what happened and to all the rates.
Okay.
So to help a little. All right. So if we go to this next one, sorry, I'm not used to this, so I'm a little slow. The review of the revenue requirement, then our advanced metering infrastructure is $5.264 million. Demand response is about $800,000, and then the North Dakota share then, that's the North Dakota share of everything there, and $2.5 million is the credit that we're seeing right now for savings. for 2026 that we're estimating. Carrying charge of the 1290, and then we've got our true up from last time to bring us to that 3.7 million. And we'll talk through that a little bit more here in detail. So the savings that we're going to be seeing throughout, you know, the next however many years we've got here are going to be due to the decline and end of the manual meter reading, which of course was very costly. And then also decreased costs for meter reading system and equipment that we would have had to purchase. Estimated savings will be evaluated annually with this filing. And the savings would not exceed what is in base rates. So our customers are paying a certain amount in their base rates for meter reading because it was still a thing when we filed the rate case. And so that's in there. And so they won't see a refund that's higher than that. And so that's important to note as we go through the next few slides here. Let's see, and the savings are based on the North Dakota share of the total meter reading costs, from the last rate case.
And if you go into this in future slides, you can just stop me and we can get into it then. So the amount, so the maximum that was in base rates, we're not talking about necessarily rate base, but what was in base rates. So that could be some rate base that, you know, is no longer needed?
The savings are, I don't know who that was. The savings are from the O&M. It's all operation and maintenance that we're talking. Okay. The meter reading costs.
Sure. So it's labor savings from not having to have the meter readers out there. Is there any equipment needs that go along with that that is no longer needed? Or
yes, we were going to have to purchase some equipment to read the meters that we did have out there, some different equipment, because that was sunsetting. And so we kind of saved some money on that. Or was that the demand response? I have to turn over to Amber and say, did I say that right?
Yes.
Yes, I believe there was some equipment we were going to need to purchase that we did not have to purchase anymore because of AMI. So that was one savings that we had, yes. Okay. Yeah. And then also
after a couple of days of SPP, I get a little bit of a skeptical tone. So we hear this kind of thing all the time. Okay, this is cheaper than what we were doing, because if we had continued doing what we've always done, we were going to have to invest all this money. Okay, what? I mean, you've been doing it. What did you have to buy that you're saving, that you are not having to buy now?
You go.
We were still using Palm Pilots to go and enter in the meter reads. We only had a very few left that were working, so we would have had to replace those.
What happened to the old ones?
I think they're no longer supported.
They were very old, so a lot of our old ones just didn't work anymore. We couldn't get them replaced. The whole system had sunsetted. We had no support for that system. It was just very old. We use things until they're very old at Otter Tail, and then when we have to replace it, we do.
Are really a significant amount of money?
No, that part was the smaller part. The bigger portion is the manual meter reading, internal costs and external costs both, because we had hired meter reading companies, you know, to come out and read all of that. And the most recent, I believe, was about $6 million that I was looking at. It was already over $6 million, and that mostly went away. We'll still have a few little things that we have to go read, so you'll see a little bit of an expense, but very, very low.
So I get they had some expenses go away, but what are the additional... You made it sound like not changing to this, doing it the old way, was going to start, you were going to have to invest something big into that. And I get the Palm Pilots, but.
Yeah, just no, not something big into that.
Continuing to pay people to do what you've been paying people to do all along doesn't sound like a significant new investment.
We'll get further into the deck where you'll see the meter reading expenses increasing in the out years. And those are the savings that that customers are going to see.
Okay.
All right. And really, to reiterate, the external cost for meter reading, that was pretty large for us, too. So we did cut those costs completely. All right. Oops. All right, so at one point, I know that we, I believe it was in our last year's filing, we corrected this because we had, not really corrected, we showed exactly what was going to happen. The savings are going to be higher because of when we looked at the total picture, all those costs were going to be escalating, right? Wages don't stay the same. None of our expenses stay the same. They always increase. And so we were, when we showed this, which actually I think I'm going to just flip to the next slide right away here. When we showed this originally, we showed that there was that you see that credit that's coming down from there. This is what the actual cost to the company would be and the savings to the company. When you see the higher piece there where it's actually a cost, that's, of course, the equipment that we purchased, you know, all of the meters and the software and everything that had to go with it. The software piece stops depreciating after just 5 years. And so when you see that credit start coming, it's because the software is depreciated, that expense is gone, and we are saving more. But this is a look at what the company would save in future years with the escalated costs. So it's not necessarily what the customers will see as a credit on their bills, because they're not even paying this much in the base rates. Does that make sense?
This is Chris. So what you're talking about, this is kind of your cost-benefit analysis that you did to justify that, and then your point is that, okay, this isn't all going to flow through to the tariff because a lot of these are avoided costs?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Future avoided costs. Yep, exactly. Yeah. So then this is what we originally supplied in 2021 for the ADP. So, of course, things have changed. In that original look, we were thinking that the cost of the project, all the meters and everything, we thought that was going to be $60.1 million. I think it was $61 million. Anyway, it ended up being $55.9 million is where we're coming in. And so it's much better than we had anticipated. So you can see this updated chart. We don't get as high as the $7.1 million, and then it starts to come down. So we still are showing significant savings to the company, which is then, of course, passed on to the customers through our rate cases and things like that as we adjust our costs. Did you have something to add? No? Okay. So then part of this, too, that besides the fact that the project costs went down, we also had some delays. And so you see that it's pushed out a little bit. And that's because of those delays we had when we were putting in the system. We had some integration challenges. Software is never as easy as you hope it's going to be. We had some challenges in our testing as well, just making sure everything was going to be correct for our customers. And then some turnover of key project team members was happening at that same time. So kind of hit us hard. But we are getting to the end. It's going well now. Everything is completed except that we have about 250 meters left to install, and those are expected to be completed by the end of 25. Some meters we're just still waiting for them to come, where we were waiting for them to come in, so we couldn't get them in right away. Still expect to have it done though. And we lost that thought. That's all right. Any questions on that one?
Are those 250, are they kind of spread throughout the territory, or is that a couple of towns, or?
I believe they're spread throughout the territory. They're kind of the more complex metering systems that we have. So our employees are doing that, Otter Tail Power employees are doing that part instead of the vendor that we had. So it's just taken, they're just more, there's more time involved in those.
Sure. And that makes sense, especially those larger commercial or industrial.
Mm-hmm. So is that what you mean by complex commercial and industrial as opposed to people who don't want them?
Oh, correct. Yeah. Nope. Just the larger, more complex. Yep.
So I have some questions on the people who don't want them unless some later slides go into that.
Nope, it's not. So you can go right ahead with that.
The fun ones. So far, do you know how many customers in North Dakota have opted out of the smart meter?
I believe it's two.
Two?
Yes.
I think it might have been a little more in North Dakota. Two might be Minnesota. Be a different state.
Oh, yeah. It might be Minnesota. I'm sorry. I might be confusing it. But I think we have less than a dozen system-wide.
Yeah, it is less than a dozen. Yeah, less than a dozen. It might be about 8 or 10 in North Dakota.
Okay. My apologies. I had it backwards in my head.
That's fine. I mean, that's a very low number, no matter which way you slice it. Mm-hmm. Would you be able to clarify, and this isn't needed today, like whenever you make the updated filing, if you could specify how many customers in North Dakota opted out, that would be helpful.
Yep, absolutely. We can do that.
Do you know if you had any customers who wanted to opt out but did not qualify to opt out?
I believe we have record of that or have tracked that, but I don't know the number off the top of my head.
Okay. If you could provide that number as well. I know we've got a couple. I mean, we don't get a ton, but honestly, like since the 2021 filing and the rollout of new meters, and this isn't exclusively an Otter Tail thing, we've gotten probably, I don't know, 1,000 times as many calls about this than we've ever gotten in the past. Just trying to get some additional data points, more so than anything else.
So I had a question on, the savings on this would be from the meter reading expenses. I know that you've had some, you have turnover on that. Imagine that you've got some people leaving voluntarily as part of that. But so I would imagine on some of this, then did you do buyouts on these contracts, or how did you do this with the existing meters? You said some of them were contracted, but did you absorb the positions internally, or like roughly speaking, how many internal positions ended up getting reduced? And additionally, were there buyouts or things like that you guys did as part of this that have rolled into these numbers?
I think with the external contracts, we were sunsetting them. We worked with the contractor, there wasn't a buyout that had to occur. And with the internal employees, they've just been reassigned to a bit of capital projects, some expense projects. But we expect that labor will go down through attrition. We're not laying anyone off, but just reassigning them on other projects.
So just to be clear, though, when you're reassigning them away from this, we're still getting the O&M savings from those positions as they're clearing out of the meter reading. Am I incorrect or correct on that?
Correct. I think the credit is all based off of what's hitting that meter reading
expense account. Side. Okay. So even if they're still in the company, then they're hitting other expense accounts, and that would be under base rates, not under this. Okay. Thanks.
And just for context, so you said you have 250 left to install. This whole project, how many meters were involved in this entire project, roughly?
177,000.
Okay.
All right. So we kind of talked about this already with the delays in the project that happened earlier. So we'll pop over to this other slide. Okay, now we're moving into advanced load management, but I'm almost done here, and then we can pop back over if we need to. Just for your information on that one, vendors were selected and contracts signed early in 2025. The workshops have been going on throughout 25 to figure out what we need to include in, system requirements and such. Phase one of the software installation is scheduled to be introduced in November of this year, so this month. And we're hoping that that's all going to work well because, software can be fickle. Field deployment will begin in 2026, and we expect to be done mid-28 with this project. So there's the update on that. Any questions there?
Did I see in the filing that some of, the funding for this was a federal grant? Or there was some federal funding involved with this?
We had applied for the grant, we were in the process of, finalizing it, but then with the new administration, we received a letter a month or so ago saying that the project, that there'd be no funding for it.
Okay. So can you help me understand, like, because of that now, like, what impact does that have on, like, this project and this funding, or, like, to ratepayers?
Well, when we introduced the project, we didn't have that grant as part of any analyses or anything. So what you've been presented has always excluded that grant.
I see.
We were hopeful that we could get it down.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. That's helpful.
So that's not what caused the increase to $2.28.
Correct. The grant didn't, the loss of the grant didn't cause the increase.
Okay.
All right. So then the rate design, Otter Tail is proposing to maintain the per meter charge. And as we said, North Dakota customers, residential, would be charged $2.28 a month, which is an increase of $1.21 over what they had before. And that's just mainly because everything happened. A lot of stuff happened in 25. And so brought that project up to where it needed to be. So here, as promised, is our chart that kind of shows what it was in the initial filing. And then after that change that we needed to make, what it is in this revised. And it did go up for residential. But if you'll notice, the small general service and the general service is where the problem was. And as we were reviewing it for this presentation, it came to light that our general service was getting a whole lot less of a charge than our small general service, which did not make any sense. And so turns out that our source document and our tracker, you know, it was just in a different order and it just wasn't caught. So silly mistake, but that is pretty impactful here. So that's, we'll get a filing out that explains that and get the correct rates in there. All right, and I think that's it for me. So if you have questions, any more questions, we're happy to take them.
Victor, was that $1.21 per month, was that mentioned in our notification?
We may have to renotice. We'll look at, like, once you file it, we'll take a look at it. We may have to renotice, which is going to kick this past January 1, which I'm assuming is what you were looking for implementation.
Yeah. But
We'll take a look. If we don't need to, which that's largely going to be dependent upon what the lawyers say. If we don't need to, we won't. But if we do, we'll try to shorten the period as much as we can. So that, because I know if we go beyond the plan date, that just makes it be more expensive in the starting the following month. So we'll figure that out.
Okay.
That's a good point, Andy.
I did have one question, like, just conceptually from the initial filing. Do you guys have that in front of you? So on, let me see if I can find it. Attachment 4. Doesn't have a page number. But so in attachment 4 on line 7, when it's showing the O&M savings due to the AMI implementation. So, like, as we're looking at actuals, it looks like the actuals are, like, the savings are continuing to go up. Like, they're kind of on an upward trend. And then once we hit July through December, where we're projecting, they just drop down a little bit. So I'm just curious and trying to understand, like, why the savings appear to be trending in, like, in an upward direction, and then you guys are projecting that they're going to dip a little bit.
Yeah. I guess in theory, we weren't really projecting they were going to dip, but what happened was we took the total number, the total dollar amount that was in our base rates and divided by 12. And then we didn't, you know, as the actuals came in and they were lower, we weren't escalating that like we maybe should have been. And so that's, but it'll come through in the true up. It comes through in the true up this next year. So
no, that's fine. Like I said, I was just trying to understand if there was some methodology or something I should be aware of. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to thank you guys for putting this together here too. So part of the reasons I wanted to do this is I could have sat down and written up a memo on this, but you know, kind of with the delay and one of the points was when you did the original cost justification, you projected out the savings and such like that, and that didn't actually flow through. So I think in some ways it ended up looking a little misleading compared to how the actual tariffs were going to go. And plus with the rates going up in the short term, I think it was important to point out about the software and why it's spiking up and then it'll decrease, so that to give confidence that we are going to trend in that direction and get a sense of the timing on that and the amount of certainty we can have that'll happen. So that was my impetus for wanting to have you before the commission to kind of explain some of that.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity.
So I'm going to start asking this more and more frequently of companies. I don't know how easy or difficult it is to contact your headquarters and talk to people for your customers, as opposed to leaving some kind of a message. But as a public, I do talk to your customers. And I'm running out of ways to explain all the cost savings that we keep approving for utility companies, and the rates just keep going up and up and up and up. And the jumps in rate cases are growing substantially. And I know you haven't filed one here, but I think it was Otter Tail just did one in Minnesota, mm-hmm. and it was a pretty big increase. How do you explain to people how these cost savings we keep doing these things, and oh, it's going to save here and save there, and we don't have to pay the meter readers and all these savings, but by the way, your bill's going up. What do you tell?
Lauren Donofrio here. It's the first time I'm speaking, so I'll introduce myself again. Unfortunately, rates respond to, you know, what we have to spend. And when we have savings in an area, that's great. But it doesn't mean that there isn't some other area where we're going to also have to spend. We're grateful that we didn't have to spend in two areas, because the increases would have been even higher. And we try as much as we possibly can to keep our rates affordable. But in Minnesota in particular, there are some statutory requirements that we had to build for and build generation for. And those costs, so that increase, at least some of that increase wouldn't be, those are costs that are being recovered in Minnesota only for some of it. So it looks a little bit higher in Minnesota than it did, for example, in South Dakota.
And I sure understand that, but here I'm talking about a little more narrowed down just in this area with meter reading, and we're saving this money, but it's going to go up to $2.28 a month on just this rider. Mm-hmm. And is the best we can say is, but don't worry, it's just for a few years, and then it's going to really drop. Believe me, is that the best we've got?
Well, there's a whole recovery of the investment that leads to the O&M savings. And the software is a 5-year depreciation life. So we have depreciation expense to recover the investment that we'll see over 5 years. I mean, it doesn't perfectly net to zero or negative, but it's going to lead to savings for the customer in the long run.
And when your customers call the office, they're pretty happy with that explanation?
I unfortunately don't get to talk to the customers, or actually maybe fortunately for the customers.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Chris here. So with the software life, is that, do you always do 5 years on software? Okay.
It depends. Some software is, it's a 10-year life. Accounting tells us what we need to use.
I mean, theoretically, you could have done a 10-year life on that, but you chose to do a 5-year life on the project. So that's why we're getting the spike here, because you're working that depreciation off in the short term, as opposed to over a 10-year period. But then you would add a larger return on rate base if you would have extended it out too. Mm-hmm. So I get why you do that. But you know, if I was just going to add that, if you had wanted to avoid the little blip, theoretically the accounting people could have told you to do it over 10 years too. I mean, the reality of it is the software is going to be in for the foreseeable future. I would imagine with this, there's not a plan to replace it anytime soon. So I was just going to point that out as a little, you know, it's causing your hump there before you get the savings. And so that'll be off the books in a couple of years, and then you get the savings. So.
And I would say that we had to make some expenditures in order to achieve what is necessary to get the savings. But it isn't, it also is not arbitrary when our accounting chooses, for the vast majority of it's 5 years, but apparently there are some that are 10. And I do not, as we sit here today, know, I'm not an accountant. I don't know the ins and outs of that, but there are some rules that dictate which is selected. So it is not just a arbitrary choice of how would we like to do it.
How much do you all know about the meters themselves? I've got some random questions that are a little bit off topic, so we don't have to get into them, but since we got done so quickly.
If you want to try.
Yeah.
Okay. We can try.
Let's give it a go. So when the meter is in non-communicating mode for those folks who opt out, do you know if it is it something that's done via software, or is it a physical disconnection that happens within the meter itself?
We can shut it, I believe we can shut it off from, shut off the communication from headquarters, we'll say. But if a customer were to decide to want it back on, we would have to roll a truck.
Okay. So it likely happens via software then versus a physical disconnection. So Do you know with any degree of certainty if, once it is set to non-communicating mode, is there any signals of any kind of frequency that comes out of the unit?
No, there shouldn't be any, because we've shut off the...
Sure. Well, I know it. So I know it's not talking to your system anymore. I 100% believe that. We've had, again, this isn't specifically directed at Autotail. I'm just trying to gather some random data. But there's some folks who are concerned about the fact that there's a transmitter in these meters still, and whether it's transmitting any signals of any sort, even if they are not being picked up by Autotail.
I'll take that one. It is not transmitting anything at all.
Okay.
When we shut that down, that's why we have to actually roll a truck to go out to turn the transmitter back on.
Sure.
Because we can't do it remotely, because it's not capable of transmitting anything at that point. I have seen some folks, and I don't know where they get them, but they've got these electrometer things that they point at and it shows you whether there's any radiation or any, there's a very, very, very tiny, tiny, tiny amount, less than your cell phone. But that's not transmission. That's just electricity and running through the meter that causes that I have seen some AMI folks have some issues with those kinds of things, but what they're seeing there is just a byproduct of electricity.
Sure. Okay. One other concept, again, we didn't I don't recall exploring this with you guys on the initial discussion about the, so this is not, it's not just a new meter system, it's a new meter and customer billing system as well. So the customer billing system requires the meter data in order to appropriately bill customers. Would it require any customization in order to make that system simply accept a beginning and an end reading kilowatt hours?
No, our current CU system has the meter. Yeah.
Well, so and I want to make sure I'm referring to the right system. I don't know if the current system is the new one or the old one. I'm assuming it's the new one.
New one, yeah.
But really what the question is, so these new meters, whether they're in communicating or non-communicating mode, they do have a tally of kilowatt hour that reads out on them. Would the system, without any additional software modification necessary, be able to accept the entry of simply here's the new reading, here's what the last reading was for total kilowatt hours, and be able to properly bill a customer? Would there be some sort of customization necessary?
Oh, no customization would be necessary. That's how the current CU system was built with the legacy meters. We would just get the ending meter read, and we'd have the prior one stored in there.
Sure.
System.
One of the things I recall, and let me know if this is incorrectly, because I think it was my case back in the day, was that was some of the additional costs that you factored into if they opt out, and we were debating whether they'd have to do it every month, and I think we settled on every 2-3 months that they would. You wanted read. You want it read, not, it didn't have to be every month, but you're going to read it frequently and then estimate it, I think was what I recall. Something like that when we were figuring the cost of the meter reading for people that opted out.
Yeah. I believe when we had the higher charge, we were saying, I think the commissioners were saying, well, can you just read it every now and then since it's a higher charge? And instead, I think we went with the lower charge.
Right.
And so now it's a monthly reading. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, yep. We did kind of talk about different, reading options of every 2 or 3 months or so. And then I think what we ended up settling on was a lower meter reading fee, and then we would read monthly.
And that was related to what Victor was saying, because I do recall that you were going to have a person actually go physically read the meter and enter the meter. And that was kind of why it was related.
And one other kind of meter, the non-communicating meter question. So when the person goes out to actually read that meter, does he just read that ending kilowatt hours, or does he have to get additional? Like, does he have to plug something into the meter to download the data, or how does that work?
I think it's through we have a mobile app for our service reps where I think they can enter in the ending meter reading.
Okay.
And then that gets sent to CU
for
a billing system.
Okay. This, like I said, it doesn't really pertain to this particular case, but I would be interested in that information. If you could confirm how that works for those customers who have opted out, if that's as simple as it is them putting in the ending meter read, I would be very interested to know that.
Okay.
I think that's all the randomness I can come up with for right now, so thank you.
And you're out too, Chris?
I'm good.
You good? Okay, is there anything else you wanted to add? Okay, are there any objections to the evidence that's been presented here today? And by that, I'm talking about both the oral discussion that's on the recording as well as the slides that you presented becoming part of the record upon which a decision will be made?
No objections here.
Okay, no objection from staff.
Okay.
None from staff.
The evidence will become part of the record upon which a decision will be made. Is there anything else we need to cover today? Okay, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.